Well, this morning we're continuing our Freedom Friday series. We have John Fleming of Atlantic in with us this morning. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming by. He's a Coast Guard alum. Why'd you get into the Coast Guard?
Well, I wanted to serve in the military, and when I looked at all the various branches, I thought Coast Guard probably fit my needs the most, and because the duties of the Coast Guard are very varied and just a lot of different activities they're involved in. And I thought if I wanted to stay in the military for a career that I would start out in the enlisted ranks and then go on to OCS and go that route. So that was my original plan, but I found out the military for a career wasn't for me, but I'm sure glad that I did serve.
Yeah. Is there a history of military service in your family?
Yes, there is. It's probably pretty common with most families. My grandfather served in the Navy in World War II, and he enlisted, I believe, when he was 40. And two of my uncles were both in the Navy. My father didn't serve. He was a little too young, and he also had a badly broken leg as, I suppose, in his early teens, and it wasn't set properly. So that right there didn't allow him to join. But, down through the history of the family, there's been a number of folks that have served.
Sure. 1987 is when you joined.
Yes.
What were your expectations before you got to experience it? What were your expectations in joining?
Well, I knew boot camp would certainly be a challenge. I mean, that's just how it is, and I guess boot camp's one of those activities that unless you go through it, you don't really know. And the Coast Guard boot camp is out in Cape May, New Jersey, very very southern tip of New Jersey, and right on the Atlantic Ocean. And of course, it was winter time, so we got some pretty cold wind off the water. And but we were so occupied with what we were doing all the time, you didn't really notice it.
How was boot camp? Is it compared to other boot camps?
You know, when I was looking at joining the military, when I was talking to recruiters, the recruiter for the Coast Guard at the time was over in Omaha. And he just flat out told me, he said, look, if you don't want a real challenge, I mean a big-time challenge with boot camp, he says, stay away from the Marines and then stay away from the Coast Guard, because he said that actually the Coast Guard was recognized as having the toughest all-around boot camp. The Marines had the toughest physically. So he warned me, and he was right. it was definitely a challenge. The company commander, which is the drill sergeant for the Coast Guard, I didn't know what the guy looked like for 2 weeks. All I heard was this huge voice screaming and yelling. And when I did get a look at him, physically he wasn't that imposing, but he was one tough son of a gun. So I felt like I got the full package in boot camp, and so that's what you want. He was tough, but very fair.
What was life like in the Coast Guard for you? Where did you go from there?
I left boot camp, went out, really out in the Western Pacific, went on board the Cutter Basswood, ocean-going buoy tender, home port in Guam, as a seaman apprentice. And it handled all the aids to navigation for various trust territories and islands for the United States out in the Western Pacific. And we also did the famous naval base, Subic Bay, in the Philippines. So we were out handling buoys, day boards, beacons, you name it. And the ship I was on was actually commissioned during World War II. So it'd seen better days, but it was a working ship. And, I thought I was low on the totem pole in boot camp, but you come out to a ship as a seaman apprentice or fireman apprentice, you find out how low you really are. So there's nowhere to go but up. And so it was quite an experience, because I didn't know port from starboard, when I went into the Coast Guard. So I was learning all the time and learning the hard way quite a bit. But it was a wonderful experience. I'm glad I got to do it.
I think some folks would be a little bit surprised to hear you mention places like Guam and the Philippines, because they think of Coast Guard as being just what it says, guarding our coasts.
Absolutely. And a lot of the places that we visited, the coral reefs on these islands, you really had to snake in just to get into port. So it was very important that the Coast Guard made sure the channels were marked properly, because it's very easy for vessels to run aground. So I've always been a big fan of history, especially the World War II era. So we got to visit a lot of the famous sites, battle sites of World War II in the Pacific. Guam, Saipan, Tinian, Iwo Jima, Palau, Peleliu, as folks remember that, the Philippines. And we actually went over to South Korea. And I actually met the ship at Sasebo Naval Base near Nagasaki in Japan. So we were all over the place. And I used to tell folks, it's like, I felt like I was maybe a member of the Cousteau Society. You remember Jacques Cousteau and all the places that they got to visit. And some very, very beautiful places and some very, very tragic places too, especially like Iwo Jima. But very fortunate to get to see all these places too.
Sure. Well, and you've been, what, about 2.5 years you spent there? You talked about maybe at one point taking a look at it as a possible career. Why did you decide to get out when you did?
Well, I was on board the Basswood for about a year, made seaman, and then I went to Radio Man A School, a few miles outside of Petaluma, California, Sonoma County. And so that was several months. And I know there's been a lot of talk recently about security clearances. Well, you know, in school, we receive a secret security clearance. And so I made it through, became a petty officer, and then I was sent down to the Florida Keys. And I worked as a radio man down there for about a year. They called it Group Key West at the time. I guess they call it Sector Key West. So we handled all the stations for Key West, Isla Mirada, and Marathon. And then Group Miami, they took over, you know, the areas from us. So we mainly handled the Keys. And when I was down there, I had a top secret security clearance. And that was back in the days when the drug trafficking was just so widespread. So much of what the Coast Guard did down there was trying to stop the trafficking of drugs. And it was quite an effort to just do what we could down there. It was pretty overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. So time to move on to something else. Well, I want to talk a little bit, because you mentioned you've always had kind of a love and appreciation of history. And you've done quite a bit of extensive writing, interviewing, and writing some stories from some of the veterans, especially local veterans here around the area. Kind of like what I'm doing here on the radio, you've been doing in print form. You enjoy that.
Absolutely. I've been very, very fortunate. I came up with the idea the fall of 1999, and I talked to the editor of the News Telegraph. And the reason I wanted to do maybe 12, 15, 20 articles, at that time there was a push on to raise money to build the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And I thought, well, there's a number of World War II veterans in the area. I will write about them, and maybe that will drum up some interest and some donations. Well, after about my third or fourth article, I ended up with a waiting list that just went on forever. So I ended up and did 60 articles over a two-year period for the News Telegraph. And after I did about 35 or 40, a number of folks said, John, you got to put this in a book. And then they started telling me how many copies they'd like to have. So that's how I ended up doing a book. And that led to the second book. It was primarily folks that I couldn't get to for the first go around with my articles in the News Telegraph. And I actually went back as far as the Civil War. The second book had veterans, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, both World Wars, Korea and Vietnam. And then that led to a third book. I was very fortunate. I got to go on a tour of famous battle sites over in Western Europe from World War II. And so the third book was all my own photography, and of course I did all the narration, and so that became my third book. So I actually did three books on area war veterans, and then later on I also did a book of poetry. So one kind of led to the other, and I just been in touch with so many great folks felt like I had an extended family. And of course, so many of them have passed on, but it was just a real honor to get to know these people and to tell their stories and to give them some recognition.
Well, so many of the veterans for many, many years were a little bit reluctant to tell some of the stories and things for different reasons. Was it just the timing was right at that point that folks were ready to visit about some of these things and there was more of an acceptance and appreciation of everything that they'd done?
I think that's part of it. And I realized before I started, I needed to come up with a format for these articles to be fair to everybody, because some veterans and their families, there was a lot of materials that I could use for my research and to put together a written piece. Others, basically, there was one photograph and maybe a copy of the discharge papers, and that was it. So I needed to be fair to everybody. And also, those folks, they don't want to feel like somebody's bragging about them. They appreciate the recognition, but they don't want to stand out. They know everybody did their part. And so I came up with a format, and I think after just a few articles, that's why my waiting list became so long, is they felt like, I'm comfortable with how he's written about these other folks, so I would be comfortable if he writes about me. And so that format I came up with, I think, had a lot to do with it. And in my own little way, because I did serve in the military, that helped a little bit. I certainly never experienced anything like these folks did, but I did my part, and I think that did help out.
Well, it's nice to have those history pieces written while the folks who lived them in some parts were able to tell those stories and give you good, accurate accounts.
Absolutely, and I didn't realize until just several years ago, less than 10% of Americans are actually veterans. I think most people think it's much higher than that. So to be a part of that, you know, it's a very small group of people, and I did my little bit. You know, I certainly did know what I was doing early on, and was always learning and getting screamed and yelled at. But to be a part of a small group like that that has served in one of the five branches of the military, it's a very proud thing to have in your background, and I'm so glad to have that. Honorable discharge certificate and some other recognition that I got when I did serve. So I did do a few things right, but I was proud that in my short time I did achieve petty officer status and got to see and do a lot.
You bet. Well, we're glad you did it too, because it always helps to keep us free and allows us to do a lot of the things that we appreciate. Thanks for coming in, and we salute you for your service, John. Thank you very much for all you've done.
Well, thank you very much.